And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Miss Judy. Proverbs chapter 3. Next week begins our revival services. Brother Mike will be speaking, I believe, in Sunday school, and most definitely in the morning service, in the evening service, and then every night of the week. The Murrays, Miss Heather plays piano beautifully, and Brother Greg sings. He'll direct the choir. He'll direct the congregational singing. Him and Mike have some brass instruments of their own that they bring with them and play as well. I hope to hear them. And it's a wonderful week I'm looking forward to. Brother Mike hasn't been with us in over 2 years, so I think it's over 3 years maybe since the Pelletiers and Murrays have been here, and really looking forward to having them back with us. So I hope you're in prayer about that. But as we consider the revival services coming up, I've been preaching a series on revival, on the need for revival. Do you need revival? Do we need revival? Well, we do. I know we do. I know I do. Our community does, but the lost in our community need the Lord. But the community that meets inside of here every Sunday morning, we need revival too. We need God to do a mighty work in our life to give us growing faith, joy, that only comes when we repent, when we examine ourselves, when we yield ourselves day by day to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we learn to trust in Him more, because the Bible says the just shall live by what? By faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in someone that you cannot see. Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. And though you cannot see God, God is just as real as anything that you can see. His power is just as real and great and mighty as the Bible tells us it is. And have many of us have experienced through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has saved our soul and given us a home in heaven, the place He has secured for us in heaven, reserved for us through faith in His Son, is just as real as the place you're sitting in right now. We're just not there yet. Therefore, it is hoped for. Because we're not there yet. But it's just as sure as this place is. And if you know Christ as Savior, it's just as sure your home, more so than this place is. As we live this life that we have entered into by faith in Jesus Christ, we are continued to live it day by day in faith in Jesus Christ. In a growing faith, as we learn to trust Him more. The issues that we often struggle with Christians as Christians are a matter of trust. Who do you trust? Do you trust God more? Do you trust His Word? Do you trust His Spirit? Or do you trust your intellect? Do you trust your feelings? Do you trust your desires? Which do you trust more? Because that which you trust more will be that which determines the direction you go and the decisions you make, and even in this life for Christians, the consequences you face. It's all a matter of trust. It's all a matter of faith. Some have called Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 the John 3, 16 of the Old Testament. I'd like to begin reading in Proverbs 3, 5, and we're going to read down through verse 12 this morning. I don't know if we'll get all the way down to verse 12, but we're going to read the whole context anyway. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. Let's go to the Lord once more in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word today. The opportunity to preach it, to teach it, to absorb it and heed it, to embrace it by faith, apply it and follow it. Lord, to the glory and honor and praise of the one who has given us new life by his death and resurrection from the tomb. The one who has given us his word that we might know him and know the salvation that you have to give. We might know your will and how we might live to bring glory to your name. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us that takes this word, brings it to our heart, and applies it to our life. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you give. If we will just yield ourselves to you today and learn to trust you more. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this service. And we pray in all things that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Amen. When it comes to revival, the all-important question is this: are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to trust Him? This verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is, trust in the Lord sincerely. Trust in the Lord completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. 2 Timothy 1:12, we see Paul's complete trust in the Lord in this verse and in many others like it. He says, For the which cause I also suffer these things, that is, the cause of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I have complete trust in who? The Lord. He doesn't say, I have complete trust in the church. He doesn't say, I have complete trust in myself. He doesn't say, I have complete trust in my friends. He says, I don't have not complete trust in my cause. He says, I have complete trust in my God, my Lord. He is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, primarily that is my soul, until the day of judgment and thus the day of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ by his grace. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying this: my life is now his, and I live that life by faith in him, by trusting in him to make the right decisions for me, to lead me and guide me in the right way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Do not depend on your own understanding. Do not depend on your own reasoning. Do not depend on your own feelings and desires. As we'll look at in a moment, those things, 9 times out of 10, will lead you astray into trouble. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. When Israel came with Joshua back to the promised land, After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the first city they were to take was the city of Jericho. They sent spies in and they found out the people were afraid of them. They were shaking in their boots. They had heard what God, the God of Israel, had done to these other kings and kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan. Joshua met one night with the Lord, the captain of the hosts of the Lord, and God told him, this is what you're going to do. He said, this is how you're going to defeat Jericho. You're going to take the people, and you're going to walk around that city a total of 13 times in 7 days. And the last time around, you're going to shout, praise the Lord, and blow the trumpets, and the walls will what? The walls will come falling down. The city will be in such disarray, it will be easy pickings. Now, think about it for a minute. When have you ever heard a general say, we're going to walk around the wall of this city 13 times and the walls are going to come down and that's how we're going to defeat it? It doesn't usually work that way. That's not usually a battle strategy. It doesn't meet with human reasoning and rationale and thinking. But what did Joshua do? Well, he got the people together and he told them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to walk around this city a total of 13 times in 7 days. We're going to shout and praise the Lord, and those walls are coming down, and this city will be ours. And that's what they did, and what happened? The walls of Jericho came down, and the city was theirs. You see, that is trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your what? Own understanding. When I was in elementary school, I got a allowance every week. It was usually 4 quarters was my allowance for the week. And 3 quarters I got to keep. 1 quarter went to in the offering at the church. When I got older, I continued that practice, not necessarily 25% or a quarter out of every dollar, but I continue to tithe and give to the Lord the first fruits, which I believe are His. We have a mortgage, we have insurance, we have car payment, we send our kids to Christian school. All of those things are costly. And our income and our outgo are pretty tight. And the world would look at me and say, you dummy, why do you give 10 to 20% of your income to other things each week, each month? That doesn't make any sense. But it does make sense. God says here in the passage we just read, give Him the first fruits of our increase. He says, I will take care of you. And you know something? God always has taken good care of us. You see, it's not us that give that have it upside down. It's the world that doesn't give God His glory, the glory that He is due. Not beginning with their pocketbook, but beginning with their heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your doings, in all of your decisions that you make. Not just the decision you made that I made when I was 9 years old to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life. When I put my eternal soul in His hands and trusted Him to save me. Give me a home in heaven. Not just that decision. It starts with that decision. But not just that decision. But decisions day by day by day that we make, we need to learn to trust God with them also. Because if we can trust God with our soul, why can't we trust God with our wallet? Why can't we trust God with our friends? Why can't we trust God with our time? Why can't we trust God with how we live? The things we watch, the things we see, the things we talk about, the places we go. Why can't we trust God with those things? We need to learn to trust Him there too. Each and every day, in all your ways, in all your doings, in all your decisions, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him who is the Lord. You have to do that when you come to Him for salvation. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you've acknowledged Him as the Lord of your life, the Lord of your soul, the Lord of eternity, will you not acknowledge Him as the Lord of your day? The Lord of your time? Will you not put Him in His rightful place in your life? If He is the sovereign Lord of the universe and the Lord of eternity, does He not have the right to tell you what you do with your time and your talents, your thoughts, your actions? Does He not have that right? The Bible says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are whose? They're God's. He is Lord. Trust Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Give Him His rightful place. Acknowledge Him in your decisions and in your life. Acknowledge Him as Lord. Acknowledge Him as the all-wise and all-knowing God who doesn't make mistakes. You make mistakes. You make them every day. Some little ones, some big ones. Some terrifying ones. So do I. God never makes mistakes. God knows always right from wrong. God knows what's around the bend. He will never lead you astray. Acknowledge Him as Lord. Acknowledge Him is the all-wise and all-knowing God. That's what compelled Joshua to walk or lead those people around those walls 13 times and shout praise to the Lord. But it says he acknowledged that God is able, that God knows what He's doing. And then acknowledge this, that He cares about you. Acknowledge that He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Humble yourselves, submit yourselves in trust and in faith to the Lord, knowing that He cares for you, that He is going to do what's best for you. Don't trust me. Don't trust the person beside you or in front of you. At least don't trust them the way you trust God. They could be wrong. They could have other agendas. God does not. He cares for you. He loves you more than anyone else. Think of the person that you think loves you the most. God loves you much, much, much more than they do. That may be hard to imagine, but He does. And He will love you that way for all eternity. Will you trust Him? Will you please trust Him? Acknowledge Him in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He will direct you on straight paths, right paths, the right path. He will direct you on the right path, the good path. Psalm 23, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of what?
Righteousness
for his name's sake. He leads me in what kind of paths? Right and good paths. That's the kind of paths he leads me on. He won't lead me down the wrong path. And he leads me down the right path that I might bring glory to his name. He will direct my path. If I'll let him. If I'll trust him. He will lead me right. Joshua 1:8, he'll lead me down a successful path. Maybe not successful in the eyes of the world, but is that really in whose eyes you want to be successful? Or would you rather be successful in the eyes of your Creator and your God? Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In Joshua's case, this meant going in and conquering the land of Canaan. That is the mission God had called him to. Your mission may be a little bit different. But God has a mission for you. It begins with living in such a life relationship with Christ that you bring glory to God and telling others about that God that has changed your life that they might come to know him. It starts there. He will direct you on the right path. He will direct you on the path that leads to success. He will take care of you. He will lead you down the path of security and blessing. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Think of everything the world has to give. What God has to give is what? Better. It's better. And it's not just better when we get up there. It's better down here also. What God has to give you is better. But you must learn to what? To trust in him. Why is it that we make bad decisions? Why is it that we go the wrong way? Why is it that we give in to sin? Why is it that we won't go out and tell others about Christ? Why is it that we won't do the things he has called us to do, and we struggle so often not to do the things he has told us not to do? It comes back to this. Who are you trusting? Who are you yielded to? If you yield it to God, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. It has to do with trust. Does God know what he is doing? Does God know what is best? Does God expect his children to listen to him or follow their own heart? What does God expect of you? What does God expect of the world that has rejected him? He expects them to follow their what? Heart. God expects you, his child, to follow his word. To walk in his Spirit. He has given us a new spirit. He has given to us his Holy Spirit. He expects something different of us, and so he should. Which would be better for you? Will you trust and obey? Let's consider if we choose not to trust and obey. Let's consider if we do not choose to trust him and yield our lives, but to follow our heart. What does the Bible have to say? Now the world says, follow your heart. If it feels good, do it. Just follow your heart. It'll all turn out great. Well, the Bible begs to differ. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now the world says, follow your heart, it'll all turn out great. God says, follow your heart, do it your way and not my way, and it's going to end what? Badly. The two are complete contradiction, contrary one to the other. Which are you going to believe? You have a choice. Every day you have a choice. Which are you going to believe? What are you going to follow? How are you going to make your decisions? In the Garden of Eden, Eve was faced with the choice. Am I going to believe God or am I going to listen to Satan? Am I going to listen to my heart? Shows poorly. We often do the same. We need to learn to trust Him. Believe what He says in every facet of our life. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, I know my heart. I know what I need. Your heart will what? It will deceive you. It will deceive you. For that which you think you need, and that which you think you can't live without, is that which will destroy you. As we preach here this morning, there are people lying in the gutter, drunk, whose lives are a life of misery and ruin, from which they see no escape. How did they get there? Their heart led them. It deceived them. The drug addict, the promiscuous person who goes from person to person to person trying to find happiness. The partier that thinks that the next party will make a difference. Their heart deceives them. The atheist who thinks that if they can just discover one more what they see as evidence, they can fill a void in their life with science, so-called, that only God can fill, are being deceived by their own heart. You know, I love science. I love astronomy. I love exploration. I think sending things to the moon and Mars and Jupiter and Pluto, and all of that is really neat. But you know, I think it's really neat because we're looking and discovering all these wonderful things that God has created. Why are they sending things to Mars? They're trying to find what? They're trying to find life on Mars. Why is that? Because they're trying to find in their mind evidence that God is not real and that life can occur without Him. They know in their conscience, down deep in their heart, it doesn't work that way. I really believe that. Their heart is deceiving them. Our heart will deceive us. Even Genesis 6, I already mentioned her, but let's read Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Why did Eve do that? She was deceived by her what? Her eyes, and her mind, and her heart, as much as she was deceived by the devil. She looked at it and she thought in herself. And she thought wrong. And she sinned. And Adam followed her in sin. And here we are. Lot. Genesis 13:10-11. Lot is Abraham's nephew. They left the Ur of the Chaldees and Haran together to come to the promised land. They got there. In the end, they had so much stuff, cattle, servants, all of this, they couldn't graze all of their cattle and sheep in the same area together, so they had to part ways. And Abraham told Lot, you choose first, I'll take whatever you don't choose. I'll go the other way, which was really astonishing because in that day, the elder never let the younger choose first, but Abraham did. Sad to say, Lot chose poorly. How did he choose? Well, it tells us here. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Goes on to say in the passage, but the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked before the Lord. And it wasn't long before Lot went from being in the plain of Jordan to being in the city of Sodom. It wasn't long before he became a cog in the business world, in the political world of Sodom. He was standing at the gate when the angels came. He was part of the welcome committee for the city. What happened? Lot lost everything. He lost everything he owned. He lost his reputation. Didn't matter once the city was gone. He lost most of his family. If he would have just trusted in the Lord rather than in his what? His eyes and his heart. He wouldn't have chose what he did and continued to choose. You see, it's not just one choice that brings heartache and misery. It's the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. Oftentimes when we choose poorly again and again and again and again. That's why the Bible says, confess your sin. Confess. Rather than continuing to make the wrong decision again and again and again, confess the Lord when you've made the wrong decision so that you, by His help, can be forgiven, cleansed, and put back on the right path. You see, Lot's heart deceived him. David, man after God's own heart. Did that mean that his heart could not deceive him? Was he immune? No. He had won many battles. He had conquered all of his foes. He was enjoying his victory on the rooftop of his palace while his armies went out to finish off some things. And as he was walking around, he noticed something that I don't know if he hadn't noticed before. I suspect maybe he had. It says in 2 Samuel 11:2 and then verse 4, it says, it came to pass in the evening, eventide, that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Her name was Bathsheba. David already had many wives, which was a mistake to begin with. But he wasn't even satisfied with the wives he had. He was the king, and for a moment, he followed his heart. He followed his feelings. He followed his desires. And he thought himself above the law that everyone else was supposed to follow. And he sinned against God. Their first child died as a result of his sin. And the sword never left his house. One of his daughters was molested by one of his sons. The brother of the sister that was molested killed the other brother. Then went into exile until he was allowed back. And Absalom made a coup against his father, tried to kill him. Sad story. All because David followed his what? Followed his heart, not followed his God. He didn't put his trust in the Lord the way he should have in the decision he made. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Read about another man who didn't trust in the Lord, but leaned on his own understanding. This man, the Lord talks about here. Sad to say, it would seem, never came to know the Lord as Savior. Went out into eternity lost. Luke 12, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Who was he thinking about? Only whom? Only himself. Only himself. Verse 19, I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. He says, now I can retire. I have barns full. I have nothing to worry about. I am secure. I have it all. I'll just sit back, kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Another one of the Gospels says, while it shall it gain a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own one, lose his own soul. This man and his thoughts and his thinking, he had secured happiness forever. But he hadn't, had he? Matter of fact, he had doomed his own soul because he had put his faith and trust in money and riches rather than in who? Rather than in God. He chose poorly. He followed his heart. He didn't put his trust in the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today, and maybe you're coming to realize that your trust has not been in the Lord. There wasn't a day when you came to the Lord in faith and confessed Him as the Lord and Savior of your life, repented of your sins and turned to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And if you died today, you'd go out into eternity lost because you're a sinner who hasn't been forgiven. But you can be today. As we sing of Hymn of Invitation in a moment, you can be today if you will trust in the Lord. And Christian, revival's coming up. Revival is coming up. The services are. And I sure hope true revival is. But if it's really going to happen in our life, then we need to learn to trust Him more in everything. Trust in the Lord. He will not lead you astray. Noah trusted in the Lord. He built an ark while everybody laughed. His family was the only family that survived. Abraham followed the Lord. He left his homeland to follow God to a land that God said He was going to give him and make of him a great nation when he had no children in his old age. He followed God anyway. He became the father of many nations. Joseph refused to sin against the Lord. He found himself a slave. He found himself a prisoner. But one day, he found himself the second highest ruler in Egypt and the savior, physically, of his family. Moses trusted in the Lord and led the people out of Egypt. He became great prophet, deliverer, type of Christ. Joshua became a conqueror. Gideon became a victor. David became a king. Elijah became the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Joseph and Mary became parents to the Son of God, and the 12 disciples became the pillars of the church, the writers of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Next week, this week, when the Lord points out something in your life where you're not trusting Him, will you deal with it? Will you tell the Lord yes? Doesn't do any good to tell me yes. But as we pray and as we sing, will you tell Him yes? And let Him start working today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your Word and the opportunity we have to serve You. Thank You, Lord, for the many examples, good and bad, You have left for us in Scripture. Lord, we thank You for the fact that we can trust You. We pray that You would forgive us for not trusting You. Lord, that as You reveal things in our life this coming week, Lord, that we would not run from them, that we would not sweep them under the carpet, but that we would deal with them with You, that we would confess them before You, that we would repent of them, that we would trust You with our lives, with our decisions, with our time, with our finances, with our love, with our heart. Lord, that we might trust in You and not trust in us. Lord, thank You for being there for us. Lord, You said You never leave us nor forsake us. Now, Lord, lead us, we pray, and help us to follow. And we pray, Lord, today, if there's one here that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus as Savior, they've never humbled themselves before You, repented and trusted in You, put their faith in You, to save their soul and give them a home in heaven. I pray, Lord, today as we sing this hymn of invitation, that they would. That they would come. In Jesus' name we do pray.